Am I? Oh, you pointed to me. Am I starting? Okay. Hello there. I always wait for you to start.
You want me to start?
I mean, it's already begun, so I guess it's pointless now.
Yeah.
But here we are, back again.
We are here, back again. So it wasn't just one episode.
It wasn't. We made it.
It wasn't Cabo, an episode, and then out. Yeah, it was all the way.
We've actually this is the two in a row. We're doing okay so far. I think we're on a good we're on the right track. I think we're on the right track. Jeffrey's turning lights on right now. I'm filling space, but I can't fill space.
Yeah, so I'm back. All right. Okay. Matt.
Yes, Jeffrey.
We're here.
Hello. Yes.
What are we talking about?
Oh boy. Today we're talking about a film that I chose for us to watch. Based on the limited options of where we are, and it is on the list, and it is one that I had planned on us revisiting, but it kind of just popped up, and I was like, okay, let's do this. And that film is Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves.
Woo.
I regretted it.
Robin Hood, Prince of Shit. I mean, there's a lot. I mean, so many things. Look, Matt, I don't know what this movie is. I can't put my finger. I think it's just there's so much that's bad.
Yeah,
that it's just a cascading level of badness, and I can't put my and I want to find one thing.
Yeah.
To say, oh, that's the reason why this movie doesn't work, it's a lot.
It isn't just because there is one. Well, there's one critical thing that is wrong with this film that's pretty apparent right from the offset.
Go for it.
Which is, you know, let's imagine. Let's go back. Take us back to 1991.
Yeah.
You're going to make a new Robin Hood film. Now, Robin Hood is a classic character, Errol Flynn. You got, I think, Connery played him.
Did he?
I believe so, in the 70s or something. Really? At some point, I should have done research, but Connery did, and I'm sure various others that I'm not thinking of, but well-worn character. Also, I would say kind of part one of the defining traits of this character is that he's English.
Yes.
From England, in other words.
At least in the traditional telling of Robin Hood.
And in the telling of the film, this film that we're...
He is English, yes, yes.
And... Who would you cast at this? I mean, and I'm thinking this is a time. There's a lot of great English actors, I'm sure, at this time. You got your Daniel Day-Lewis's. You got your Ken Branagh. You got Liam Neeson. You know, there's so many others that I could name that probably would have been a great fit for this part. But who do we have in this role? But Kevin Costner.
Yes, and
Kevin Costner.
He makes no attempt at an accent.
This is one of the most baffling casting decisions I've ever seen, and we've watched The Toy. So, like, this is I would put this not obviously this movie wasn't, well, I was kind of offended by it, but it wasn't offensive in a racial way or a political way, but it's really, it's just as egregious in its lack of judgment on the part of the people who made this decision. And boy, he is so wrong for this role that this is one of those things that just, it fundamentally, the movie is sunk before it's even begun.
Yeah.
Because the central character is so miscast that he doesn't give the movie a chance, really,
well,
out of the gate.
I agree. It's also interesting that the director doesn't seem to make... They seem to say... It seems to be that they cast... I feel like they cast... They cast him maybe in the hopes that he would learn an accent, and then he showed up without knowing an accent.
I was reading... I did a little research, which means I looked at the Wikipedia page, and I was reading about the production, and I guess... Costner wanted to do an accent.
So hold on, before you say this, I want to give my point out because I don't want it to I just want to make sure that I say it before you say what you're saying, because I think you may be going where my feeling is. I'm curious.
Yes,
I feel like the director, because of how bad his accent was, made a decision to just have no semblance of accents with anybody, because. Yeah. The best part of this movie for me was Sean Connery at the end. And I totally forgot that Sean Connery was there.
Yes.
I totally forgot this, that Sean Connery is at the end. And I, after just slogging through this movie, I got to the end and I hear this guy and I'm like, oh, great. What the hell? Just end this movie. Yeah. And then he walks up and I went, don't end the movie. Just let him continue to be in this movie. This is great.
Little Untouchables reunion.
Yes. And that's so and the funny thing is, in the previous episode, I made this whole comment and it was totally unknowing that he was in this movie. So, but no, I think it's not just Kevin Costner because Morgan Freeman has a nondescript accent. That doesn't sound Moorish to me.
This movie is a mess of accents.
And then you have Alan Rickman, who has a very distinctive voice. But then Little John is Christian Slater
from The Valley.
Christian Slater sounds like he's about to go off to high school.
Right out of Sherwood Forest.
Oh my God!
I mean, just like he was so authentic.
Yeah, it's Maid Marian. I feel like at the end of it, the director's just like, well, fuck it.
Yes.
Just talk however you want. We're going to ignore this.
This is a lot of fuck it, I think, in this movie. I think, Kevin Costner wanted to do an accent, from what I gather. He wanted to do the English accent, and the director, Kevin Reynolds, who I guess is... He's worked with Costner a lot. They're old buddies, I guess. He would eventually go on to direct Waterworld. It seems like every movie they did together was a disaster, though, which is funny. I don't know why. I don't know if they're still friends. I guess Kevin Reynolds, the director, was not crazy about the accent. He was like, I don't think it's a good idea. So the result is a performance where the accent comes and goes. As the wind blows, his accent comes and goes.
Yes.
Is what we have in the end here. Even apart from the accent and how absolutely un anything but American Kevin Costner is.
Yes,
he's just so like I believe, and maybe, and this is a bold statement to make right at the beginning, but I think, you know, a lot of people say like Tom Hanks is like the new Jimmy Stewart. I think Kevin Costner is more like Jimmy Stewart.
Yeah.
I think Kevin Costner has a very Jimmy Stewart quality, which sounds weird because Jimmy Stewart is a very beloved, great actor, but Jimmy Stewart kind of had one lane, really, and one kind of, you know, he did it brilliantly and beautifully.
Right.
But I think Costner has a similar thing, a similar earnestness, a similar sincerity.
It's a frankness. It's an American like simplicity.
Yes.
That is frank, direct, and like there's no nuance. There's no, you know, the classic English subtlety where it's like two people walk into the room and go, I think I better go, you know, and like nothing is said.
Yes.
It is all in the eyes. Okay.
Yes.
Costner is very frank
he's not capable of that.
No,
really.
No.
As a performer. No. I do when the material is good and when he's appropriate for it, he's fantastic.
He's fantastic.
Like Untouchables, again, one of my all-time favorite fucking movies. Field of Dreams, phenomenal.
Phenomenal. JFK.
Dances with Wolves, even. Great movie.
Yes.
You know, like, he's great in a lot of things.
JFK.
JFK, thank you. Yes. Masterpiece.
Yes.
But in this case, I think the problem is not just the English thing, but he's playing Robin Hood, who I feel like... needs to have a kind of glint in his, glimmer in his eye or something. He has kind of a mischievous sort of, you think of Robin and his Merry Men.
Right.
Like, there's nothing merry about this movie. This is this is the least merry Robin Hood, even more so than the Ridley Scott Robin Hood.
I wrote down, I can't believe Costner is a young man.
Yeah, there are so many problems with this. My note that I made that kind of, I feel like kind of sums it up is that casting Kevin Costner as Robin Hood would be like casting Hugh Grant as Davy Crockett. Just imagine. I think it's the same logic, really.
Yes.
Right?
Yes, absolutely. And then imagine? Have him speak with a British accent.
I'm king of the wild frontier. Yes, I am. Yes, I fought the grizzly bear with my bare hands. Yes, I tell you.
Yes, yes, and have him do his British accent the whole time. Well, who do I have to screw to get some chocolate biscuits, you know?
It is just so fundamentally flawed.
Yes, that is such a wonderful spot on, man. No, I think ultimately, setting that aside, I think in addition to the fact that he's playing an English person with no accent, is I don't believe Costner is a young man. I think Costner skipped puberty and went straight to middle age.
Yes.
And so there's these scenes at the beginning of the movie where he's supposed to be acting like this young, carefree frivolity, and it's like I'm looking at him like, you look like you're middle-aged.
When they show the actor who is supposed to be his father, I out loud said, fuck you. I just said, fuck you to my team. I was like, no, we're not doing this. This is not, that's, no, no. That actor has to be, he's like a day older than Kevin Costner.
Yes.
And he's playing his father.
And on top of that, Kevin Costner, this whole thing is there's so much in this movie.
I have a question because I don't remember, but did they say how much time had passed? We're not really going to, we're not talking about the plot of the movie, but in the beginning we meet Robin as a prisoner who, with the aid of Morgan Freeman, escapes and returns home to his kingdom, where his father is the king of Loxley or whatever he
Lord,
is,
right?
Lord Loxley.
Yeah.
And in his absence, his father, the kingdom has been taken over by the Sheriff of Nottingham, and his father is killed, and the throne is usurped, and blah blah blah. But did they say how much time had passed from when he escaped prison and when he got
they don't
back?
They don't, and I only can surmise just from my really, really lacking understanding of like the Crusades in general.
Yeah.
But I don't think it would have been much more than, I think it was like 10 years, maybe.
Was it really that long? I mean, thinking like maybe months.
Oh, no. It was
it's
like,
meant to, so it was meant to be like a, like,
yeah,
a,
oh yeah. No,
really?
The Crusades were, well, hell, it took them months to get there. They had to get to the Holy Land.
Well,
back
yeah.
Then.
I mean, well, that's, but I thought they went straight from prison to the Holy Land to.
Oh, you mean from prison to back.
Prison
oh,
to
I
him.
Oh, I thought you meant from when he left his father.
Oh, no,
on
no,
the crusade
no.
And then come back.
From when he escaped prison and got back to.
Oh, yeah, I'd say months.
Yeah, months. Right. Yeah, but they didn't specify.
Months. No, yeah, just 4 or 5 months.
But like, because when he, well, when he does get back, though, and he finds the kingdom, first of all, maybe the funniest moment in the entire movie was Kevin Costner. Well, there's a couple things in this scene that, well, Kevin Costner seeing his father's dead body and going no, and then hiding his face in Morgan Freeman's shoulder at like a scared little girl.
There's
sorry, that was I didn't mean to gender that, was inappropriate.
Matt,
like a little,
there are
like a scared
so
person.
Many choices in acting and everything that make no sense. Like, let's start with. Well, this. No, I'm not going to even go back to that. It's not even worth the time to talk about the stuff at the beginning where he's escaping, because it's just like.
Although I will say, I do want to mention that the only thing I remembered about this movie is the very beginning, where the very first thing that happens is a prisoner gets his hands cut off for stealing, and that left an indelible mark on my brain when I was a young child, when we watched this on video with our parents, when our parents allowed us to watch this movie.
Yeah, I think that. I mean, you know how bad this movie's going to be when that scene starts, yeah. Kevin Costner walks up and says, I'm going to show you English courage, but in such an American act with no, like, you're just like, oh,
he might as well have a Southern accent.
Yeah, he might as well. Yeah. No, what I was going to say was the scene where he gets to Dover, right? And he gets onto the shore.
Yes.
Right? And he drops to his knees and kisses the sand and rolls around in the sand. And which I'm setting aside how uncomfortable that made me, because it's just like, you're fully dressed and that's going to be, now you have sand everywhere. Yes. That's so awful.
Yes.
But setting that aside, Morgan Freeman comes up, right? And then for some reason, someone attacks Morgan Freeman, right?
Yeah, I guess
And he jumps around and like defeats them, but then doesn't disarm them or anything. He just like shuts around and says, "Up, gotcha." And then the guy goes, "Oop, he got me." And then they just walked off. And then the rest of the scene, the people who just tried to kill him are in the boat. They're right there. And Kevin Costner's just smiling at him. Like, wasn't that funny? And Morgan Freeman's like, well, you know, I can stop anybody who's downwind and smells of onions, you know?
Right.
And Kevin Costner's just like, well, you got to try. And I'm like, try what? Did you just try to kill him? What happened here? I'm like, totally, it made confusing. No sense.
It was. There was a lot of confusing moments like Morgan, that. Many confusing
Kevin
choices.
Costner is smiling while Morgan Freeman almost is like knifed, right? And then just lays like it doesn't make any sense.
I know it's ridiculous.
Oh my God.
I you know this the only thing for me, there are two things that I just clung to watching this movie, and that one was Morgan Freeman, who, even though, you know, accent whatever, just his presence always is a comfort. It's like, oh, thank you. Thank God
just
Morgan
let him
Freeman
be,
is
let
there.
Let him be the...
Him and Alan Rickman.
Okay, so I disagree with you.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I disagree with you on Alan Rickman. He was one of the more uncomfortable parts of it, and I think it's more the direction than it is him. But we can get to him in a minute. Early on, really awkward moment, the Muslim prayer sequence where he's trying to pray, and then there's a fight, and then it's basically Kevin Costner mocking the fact that he's praying and not getting up and helping him in that situation.
Yes.
Just kind of like, it doesn't really hold up really well.
Yeah, no, not very, very insensitive politically.
Fast forward, I wrote holy bad. The first time, so we can get to Rickman, but the first time we see Rickman with this witch, which is his mother, or maybe?
That relationship was very confusing.
Has to be mother.
She was, she's like, or his like adoptive mother or something, but like, they have this weird...
Because at the end, the wedding scene is really disturbingly weird.
This movie is gross.
Yes.
I have to say, and I'm somebody who, I don't mind some gore or whatever movie. This movie was gross.
It's disgusting.
It was a disgusting movie.
It is uncomfortable.
It was, the violence was actually, I thought it was too bloody. I thought it was too, it was just gross. Like, there's a moment in this movie where Kevin Costner grabs with both hands horse shit out of the street and rubs it on himself.
Yeah.
This happens in the movie. Yes. And you watch him look at it. And dig both hands into
contemplatively. He looks at it like he's like, it's like Hamlet with what's
with
his
skull?
With the skull. Alas,
poor Yoris.
Yeah, alas, poor Yoris. It's like he was holding, he looked at that shit.
Yes.
Like it was Yoris' skull.
A soliloquy.
Yes. He sat and was just like, he was like, oh. And then he's emoted.
He digs into
rubbed
that
shit all over to himself.
But that is just the tip of the iceberg of like how weird and gross and just unpleasant this movie is to watch.
Yes, but the opening sequence where we meet the mother / adopt, whatever she is, witch, right? And she's doing some prophecy with like blood and dominoes or something.
Yeah, they're like little tiles or
tiles,
like little
mahjong.
Like,
she was playing mahjong
basically,
and cracked a bloody egg over it and was like, "Oh, I can see the future."
Yeah.
Anyways, but then she does the most uncomfortably bad.
Yeah.
She just goes, "I've seen our death."
That was a bold. That was a big performance.
Bad.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it was so bad. That it made Alan Rickman's genuine shock and dismay feel comical the whole time. That whole thing, their interactions was not, it was comical. I felt I was watching a farce.
Honestly, my heart broke for Alan Rickman watching this movie so much because he was so brilliant. And I got to say, I disagree. I think his performance is a saving grace only in the sense that I think he knows this is ridiculous and he leans into it. And the only moments of enjoyment I got from a performance were watching him because he clearly was just like, this is garbage. I'm just going to like ham it up. I think he actually won a BAFTA for this movie.
Okay. But here's the thing. We disagree. I don't know if I agree with that. I would say that this is his worst film I've ever seen.
Well, I agree, but I still enjoyed his performance.
I mean, his performance was his worst ever. Well, not the worst film. I mean, his performance. Genuinely, but again, I don't think it's him. I think it's the direction.
Yes.
I think that the casting of whoever this witch woman was and her, that whole thing was just awful. Yeah. And so here's the thing. You said that there's nothing that was enjoyable, or his was the only enjoyable part. There was the scene where Marion comes to their encampment, and there's a fire, and she's just hanging out with Kevin Costner. That was enjoyable because I forgot that he was Robin Hood, and I was like, oh, he's just Kevin Costner having a conversation. And in that interaction, that relationship part, he was very good in.
Yeah.
But the problem is that when he starts to have to be Kevin Costner, I also don't think he's an action star. Like, there's too much action in here where he's got to act like an action person.
Well, I think the whole handling of, because Robin Hood is supposed to be this master archer,
yes,
right?
Yes.
That's like the defining, you could say the defining trait of Robin
Hood. And they don't
lean bow and arrow.
Into, yeah.
And he doesn't have a bow and arrow in this movie until I think like an hour into the film, and it's very unceremonious. They don't make a big one thing I got to say, to kind of maybe this will screeching to a halt a little bit, but I think the one thing maybe we're tiptoeing around is that there was a pretty popular, well-known satire or parody of this movie called Robin Hood Men in Tights.
Oh, yes.
Mel Brooks' movie, which I got to say, better movie.
Way better.
Way better. And honestly, not just because it's funnier and more entertaining, it's a better movie. It's better made and actually is a more involving story than this fucking piece of shit.
Yes.
Like, honestly, and that was my only point of reference. So every time I was watching, I was like, oh, well, this is like that scene in Men in Tights. So like when he gets to the... you know, to the shore or whatever,
and
Men in Tights, like Cary Elwes like grabs like sand and just puts in his mouth and is like chewing on it ridiculously and spitting it out. But that movie, actually, I'm more familiar with that movie. I prefer that version.
So another initial early on scene, I just couldn't get past a lot of these early scenes. No. The initial interaction with Marion, are they angry, flirting? What, like, it was really weird.
Yes.
Like, at one point, she's like, won't talk to him. And then the choice is Marion, when she runs like she's...
Yeah.
Like she's in a gigantic sumo suit, you know? It's like, like this.
Mary Elizabeth Mastrantonio, who's a great actress.
That's
I love her.
A lot of a name.
She's a big name. I mean, that's a
big name for a small
I don't think
woman.
It can fit on her SAG card, honestly. I don't know how she does
she's
it.
She's a dainty woman with a large name.
She is, but she's wonderful. She was in The Abyss. She was in Color of Money.
Well, yes, okay.
She's
all right,
wonderful, phenomenal actress. I don't know... I think all around this movie is pretty miscast. I mean, I think Alan Rickman as the Sheriff of Nottingham.
Good cast,
is
yes.
Good. And I think Morgan Freeman in that part is good. Those are the
I think
only
Morgan
two roles.
Freeman would have been fine in that. I thought Sean Connery was good as Lionheart.
Yeah, but that doesn't count. That's a cameo.
Richard.
It's like.
But it was the best part of this movie.
It was. Agreed. But,
he basically, it's like Lexi. I was talking to Lex about this, and she goes, yeah, it was an awful movie. She goes, you know what? You should guys watch. It was a good movie. It's his First Night, which is the Richard Gere,
that's on our list.
Sean Connery movie. And that is a great movie. Mm. But you can believe Sean Connery as who he's as Arthur. Mm. And it's just.
This movie made me it touches on something that I am fascinated by, which is this, and especially from this time, I think it's more specific, the 80s into the 90s. It's not so much, I mean, I guess it still continues today, but particularly at this time, which was, you know, these big studio movies that were kind of run by these big producers and they're totally wild casting choices that just kind of defied all logic. But were totally just based on box office and bankability. But
that's like, Christian Slater all fucking
day. Sure. And it's funny because I was looking on the Wikipedia and I mentioned like a few names of other actors. There's not I didn't see a single name other than Kevin Costner mentioned, like as if they didn't consider a single other actor.
Right.
When they find out that Kevin Costner was interested in doing this, that's how big of a star he was at that time, which I think is easy to forget. Because like for a hot minute in like the late 80s, early 90s, really, I guess until The Postman, which kind of put the post in his career.
It shouldn't have, though.
It shouldn't have. I know. We'll get to that one at some point. I remember it being good. But that seemed to kind of... But like... He was a huge star, like at this time in particular, but he must have been is the only explanation I can think of, that he must have been such a massive star at that time,
right?
That it was just like, well, Costner, Robin Hood, he's unstoppable, he can do whatever he wants.
Well, but like Robin Hood is like a classic role, right? Errol Flynn, sure, like original kind of movie thing, and I can see how a big actor would kind of say, I want to do that. Look,
sure.
Look, the concept of Robin Hood is great from a movie standpoint. Yeah. Like, have you seen the one with Russell Crowe?
Yes.
Okay. I think that's quite good.
I only saw it once, but
okay,
I remember
he's not Mary. He's not Mary at all.
Right, right.
And whatnot. But it is a really good movie, in my opinion. Mm. I think that there's an allure of Robin Hood for an actor because it's fun. It's supposed to be. I don't get Kevin Costner. He can't do jaunty. He has to be middle-aged.
He's the least jaunty person.
He has to be middle-aged and struggling with something.
Yes.
That is who he is.
Yes.
And if you give him anything else, it just seems fake. Like, he cannot act like someone who is just, like, him joking with Morgan Freeman.
Yeah.
Was painful.
I was going to use the same word. It was painful.
It was painful. Yeah. He's trying to make a joke at his expense, and I'm like, you can't make a joke. You are a father. You were a father from the moment go. There's no joking with you. This is it. And I just couldn't get past that.
No, it's totally, you can't. It's impossible.
And the rousing speech he was supposed to give to the people was not rousing.
No.
It was...
Not at all. No. Right. It's just the thing is that the movie is sunk by that casting choice alone. And then, and like the toy, it's like every other choice just kind of falls down around it. Because if you don't have the right actor as the central character that everything revolves around, then it's just, there's no gravitational force pulling it in. It's just, everything's just flying around. It's just chaos. It's just insanity. And I mean, from the sounds of it, I guess the making of it was made, they didn't have enough time to make it. Because I guess Kevin Costner, he did Dances with Wolves and this and JFK, like literally back to back to back.
Yeah.
Like, from what I hear, he had like a handful of days between those movies, like literally. And he directed Dances with Wolves, which is kind of crazy thing. Like he makes this big movie that he directed and starred in, and then he goes and does two other like big movies immediately after. So he was huge at this time, and it is curious to remember when he was that big of an actor.
Well, see, that explains a lot more to me. You know, the fact I didn't realize he had done those other movies at the exact same time, or essentially.
Yeah.
And I could see him. He phoned it in.
Right. I mean, well, yeah, I think it's more that like he's feeling like he can do anything at this point.
Well, I think that's part of it. But I also think that I just think he phoned it in. You cannot tell me.
No, it's not.
What he did was trying.
I honestly... Sadly, I think it was.
No!
I think it was.
Come on, Matt.
No, no. I'm not kidding. I think he did the best he could, but he was so wrong for the part that it was never going to work. But I think he tried.
I don't want to believe that.
That's why it was so painful, because he was trying and not and failing.
Well, what about this? I wrote down the spyglass.
Oh, my God.
With exclamation
question mark. This was so fucking
stupid. I don't get, like, what is...
So yeah. Okay, well, so describe the moment.
Okay, so there's this moment,
please,
right?
Please.
It's shortly after he flirts slash assaults slash intimidates Maid Marian on their first go. I don't know what was going on with that
weird
whole
dynamic
interaction, because by the end of it, she loves him, but at the beginning of it, she hates him, which is happens, but I don't know. I digress. It was baffling. So after this, they hear off in the distance
Morgan Freeman
in the distance hears of what looks like the sheriff's men coming to attack, and Morgan Freeman pulls out what is essentially a spyglass, and he looks through it, and then he hands it to Kevin Costner, who proceeds to look through the spyglass, but then acts as if he thinks the person is right on top of him.
He is absolutely gobsmacked by the sorcery of this device, this magical device that is making the men from far away be close. And he, so much so that he like points his sword out and is like, he's like, it like totally, it like fucks him up. Like he is fucked up by a spyglass.
And he's, so he's like, he's looking through the spyglass. Yeah. And then he pulls his sword out and starts like waving it.
Like, yeah, like,
as he looks through the spyglass, and
it's the most
ridiculous thing. Morgan Freeman is not acting in that moment. He's staring at them, going, "This is the fucking stupidest thing
I've
ever
seen." What if Costner improv that?
Oh my god!
And Morgan Freeman's just like, "What the fuck?
What are you doing?
What am I doing here?"
Well, Morgan Freeman, and then he says, "It's a wonder that we ever lost the damn war." And Kevin Costner's like, "Yeah, it is." And I'm like, But I'm thinking in my head, I'm like, okay, and this is where I can't turn my brain off, but I'm sitting there going, all right, it's the 11th century, it's the 12th century,
right.
And I'm like, yes, I get what the director's trying to do.
Right.
He's trying to show that the Moors were technologically far more advanced, and he does this throughout the film, if you remember. It's not just the spyglass. There's a scene where they create a pulley system with water that's coming up.
Does he do something with gunpowder?
He does gunpowder. He also does a fucking C-section on a woman somehow.
Christ.
And everyone comes out just smiling. Like, there's no problem.
Yeah, the mother is like...
The baby
mother.
Is
like in battle, like a day later.
Yes. 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 C-section. Yes. Yes. No,
oh my God.
No anesthesia. Nothing. Just cut her open her stomach, pulled out the baby, and then just they sewed her back up and said, "You're good. Go."
Oh my God.
Look.
That was absolutely insane.
Anyways, they're trying to suggest this, but for some reason, he's just baffled by this. And it is, and the acting's bad in it too. It's like it's not just the choice to be dumbfounded by it. His dumbfounded looks like a child act. It looks like it looks like Haley Joel Osment trying to be a friend with somebody
trying to be a normal child.
Trying to be a normal child. It doesn't work.
Yes.
And it was so bad.
Oh my God.
Absolutely
ridiculous.
Oh my God.
I'm interested in this movie in the sense that I think this was a time, like, again, where these big movies were being made by these big studios with these big stars. And then, of course, I think the reason this movie, because this movie was a huge hit. It was one of the biggest hits of that year. It was like, yes, it was like Terminator 2, Beauty and the Beast, and this were like the three biggest hits of 1991.
Like, critically?
No. Box office.
Well, okay,
I think the movie is honestly it's gross and not very entertaining and not fun.
No,
I think it literally is just because Kevin Costner was such a big star, and then they also had that song, which I forgot about, the frickin' Everything I Do It For You, the Bryan Adams song.
Oh, right.
Which plays at the end, and that was like a big, and so.
How is that associated with this movie?
Oh, it's, because the Robin Maid Marian love story was just
so.
Yeah,
but it's not in the movie.
It's
only for the credits. Like, it came on, and I'm like,
I know,
I'm
and
like,
that's
who gives
the thing.
A shit?
It's so, because it's so like shamelessly tacked on, and this is, and it's like, this kind of studio filmmaking is just, I'm so fascinated by it.
There are moments in this movie that are visually very cool.
Yeah.
There are moments.
Yeah.
The scene where Maid Marian's floats off into the mist. And Kevin Costner's just watching her as she goes off into the mist.
Yeah.
It's visually very, very pretty. The scene with the flaming arrow.
Great shot. Yeah.
Great shot, right? Yeah. I mean, just really good shot.
Great.
There are other scenes throughout the movie sprinkled in where you're like, that is just a very pretty visual.
Yeah.
It is so just undercut by how bad everything else is in this movie.
It really is. There's no saving it. I just remembered another one of my favorite moments is towards the end of the movie. There's this little kid who is, I think he's Little John's son.
Yes.
Right. Who is like kind of throughout always, you know, causing trouble and wants to get involved and stuff. And he gets captured and taken to the gallows to be hanged.
Yes.
At one point.
Uh-huh.
And one of my favorite moment is one of the guys.
When they're standing on the
gallows about, with a noose around his neck about to be hanged. The child is brought up. He's like, oh, leave him alone. He's only a boy.
Yeah.
And then they put the noose around him. He's like, are you all right?
Yes.
I fucking lost it.
Yes.
I was like, yes, please make sure the boy is all right before he's hanged to death. By his fucking neck.
Yes.
Please make sure he's okay.
He goes, oh.
How thoughtful.
Yeah, yes. I caught that too. It was like a throwaway line. Like, he's like,
he's about to be hanged, and so are you. You're about to be hanged. And
it's
the
concern
of him.
You can see, I guess this is where I get at it. It's like a ham-handed bullshit thing. It's like you can see what the director is trying to get at.
Yes.
Which is to suggest some sort of care like that these people are having towards this kid.
Yeah.
But it's just like the choice of words are so bad.
It's just very sloppily handled.
He could have just said, be strong.
Right.
And it would have worked so much better than saying, are you all right? It's like, well, fuck no, he's not all right. He just had a noose put on his goddamn head. Like, it's ridiculous.
He's about to be executed.
Oh, my God.
Like, I just love that idea. It's like asking somebody in the electric chair, are you comfortable? Are you,
yes.
Do you need me to, would you like a pillow?
Yes.
Before we electrocute your body to death?
When I put this needle into your arm, would you like me to numb your hand, numb your arm?
Now so should I, do you want to I just want to make sure I don't, you know, hit
the
wrong vein.
Are those straps too tight?
Yeah,
too
please,
tight.
Please, we want you to die comfortably.
There's so many scenes. I wrote down a Morgan Freeman's speech.
Yes.
Which
speech was
the
it?
One on the wall that somehow converted everybody in the entire castle to against him? Like in just one, like there's chaos. Things have blown up. You have to remember, the gunpowder has never been seen by the English. That's the concept that they're saying. He's a magician. He's created this thing. They've never seen this. All of a sudden, things are just blowing up. Blowing up. Yeah. People are going to think that he is a sorcerer.
It's true.
He is a crazy sorcerer. And he just stands. He's just blown up everything. And he proceeds to
People have never seen an explosion.
And no one there knows who he is. They don't know he's with Kevin Costner. They don't know he's with Robin Hood. He's just some man who's blown up shit. And he stands on the wall and he just starts going, everybody, listen to me. I follow this man. You should follow them too.
I mean,
and they go, okay.
To be fair, it is Morgan Freeman. And if Morgan Freeman told me to do something, I'd probably do it.
It was so comical.
Oh, God.
You want to talk about a bad situation, right? You want something that I thought about. At the end of the movie, when Sean Connery comes, right? And so Sean Connery's walking. Everyone kneels except for Morgan Freeman, right? Because he's a Muslim. And I'm thinking in my head, the first thing that goes through my head is, he's going to kill Sean Connery because, because Richard the Lionheart just went and murdered everybody in his fucking place. Right? He is. It's like, there's the man who just
killed your
sacked
family.
Everything.
Yeah.
And you're standing there at a wedding like, oh, hi.
Yeah.
How are you, buddy?
That's true. Like, that's going to be awkward.
Right?
That's going
to
be awkward.
Not to mention that Richard the Lionheart would have probably killed him as well because he wasn't kneeling. Right. He was the only person not kneeling. Everyone kneeled. It was like.
Can you imagine if he kneeled and he killed him?
Right.
and that's how the movie ended.
Right.
Just, oh my God.
Either way. So I'm just sitting there going like, there were so many things at this. It was like, they just ignore.
Yeah.
And I just don't even know. I want to dig into the Alan Rickman thing because we haven't talked about it, and I'm gonna.
Yeah.
Here's my thing with Alan Rickman. Mm. Everyone they put around him,
yeah,
was comical. Mm. There's the witch lady, right? Then there's this sniveling guy that he has to answer him about how Robin Hood is liked by the people.
Yeah.
And the performance is very like, he seems like this kind of, well, I'm gonna do that, you know. You know, and like,
yes.
Right? And Alan Rickman, so it's like, so Alan Rickman is playing off of these, so it makes Alan Rickman look stupid and awful. But not in a good way. It was a comical thing. I found his entire...
I think, honestly...
I didn't find him intimidating at all. I found him, like, really goofy.
Yeah,
and, like,
well,
awkward.
And I think that is... Because it's funny too, because he is ultimately like the sheriff of Nottingham character in Men in Tights is basically the same character. Really, very, like, yeah. In fact, that guy was probably more imposing. But I think every actor took the gig. I'm sure it was a great paycheck, and then it just turned out to be dog shit. And he tried his best in the sense that I think he leaned into the absurdity of it.
Yeah.
And played up the weird, sick relationship between him and his mother, this witch lady, which is so bizarre and creepy. And because, like, the whole thing is like she wants him to fuck Maid, to have sex with Maid Marian, basically, to give him a son, you know, to carry on the throne or whatever. And she keeps insisting that they fuck, basically. I feel like the whole thing at the end is like, and he's like, not until we're married properly. But he kind of plays it like a sniveling little like no, I don't want to do like
right.
I kind of like that about it, because I think that's him just going, this is bullshit. And I see him. I'm like, I see you, Rickman. I see what you're doing in this.
Well, he must have, because we know he can do Sinister.
Oh yeah.
I mean, Hans Gruber.
Yeah.
And hell, even Snape from Harry Potter.
But I think,
like,
it's hard to do that, the character in as they portrayed him in this, like that, because of how creepy the thing is with him and the witch lady and all that. It's just too bizarre, and I think he knew that and was like, I can't do this like Hans Gruber. It's gonna be too much. It's gonna be ridiculous. Like, I have to, like, It's just not gonna work like that. Or at least, honestly, he probably did it just to amuse himself as an actor. To be like, I'm just gonna, like, it's more interesting to me as an actor to play the bizarreness and weirdness of this.
Right.
So I'm gonna do that instead of trying to, like,
yeah. But
you know.
the dichotomy, the problem is that there are moments where he is the sinister person, like the time he kills his cousin,
right?
Where he just cold-heartedly just stabs him.
I
right
do love
him.
That act. Michael Wincott is.
Oh
that
no,
actor.
He's great. Yeah,
he's
no,
a great. He's great. He was in The Crow and a bunch of stuff. He's a great character.
He was also
actor.
In Count of Monte Cristo. He was.
Oh, is he? Okay.
He's the jailer in Count of Monte Cristo.
He's in a ton of stuff.
But but Rickman. There are other parts in the movie where he is sinister, like him on horseback.
Yeah.
At the battle scene at Robin Hood's their camp. Right. Mm. There he seems like he looks imposing, and he looks like that type of figure. So I don't know. It's like the accents. Everything is,
it's
just uneven. Doesn't match up.
It's very uneven. It just flies all over the place.
Yeah,
it feels
like The Room.
It's not far off. It's just a slightly bigger budget. But,
yeah, it's just like.
But I think it was one of those situations, again, where it's like, we got the rights to Robin Hood. Costner's in. Go make the movie.
Right,
like
that's
I think that's really what happened. It's
a good cast. I just don't understand why they're so bad.
I know. Well, I think, I mean, it is a good cast, but I just think, with the exception of a couple of the parts, I just think that they're not very, it's not well cast. Really.
By the way, Christian Slater, like, somehow is very prominent in the beginning, and then he disappears for like 45 minutes.
Yeah, and then he comes back, and apparently he's Robin Hood's brother. And it's
right,
like,
which is
throwaway. My suspicion is that maybe Christian Slater, who was pretty hot at that time, could only work for like a week or something. And they're like, okay, well, we gotta cut Will Scarlet out of like all these scenes because I seem to remember, and maybe this is just me going with Men in Tights, but like, initially it seems that Will Scarlet is like the leader of the Merry Men, when I thought it was Little John. I thought Little John was like the like historically or whatever supposed to be the leader.
Can we talk about the hairstyles?
Oh, please.
Because like Christian Slater looks like he's a surfer from like Point Break. Like he's straight out of Point Break.
Yeah.
Just got off his board.
Yeah.
And but then Little John's hair is like from a 1940s version he looks like his whole face looks like a reproduction of a like play from the 1930s. That actor, time travel is real. They pulled him from another era and just said, here, do it now. Because his face and his hair is like
bizarre. I was disappointed with this Little John. Not that he was a bad actor, I just felt like they needed somebody more imposing. And more like, because I always imagined Little John as a big, you know, hulking sort of, but lovable, like a John Goodman kind of.
But or who's the who's the second guy from Braveheart? The big Scottish
Brendan
guy.
Brendan Gleeson.
Yeah, big guy.
Great casting.
Great casting.
Perfect.
And he would have been someone like that, that big hulking kind of roughnecky kind of guy.
I love this movie. I want to watch that movie.
Yeah, right?
I want to watch the movie version of this. Let's do this. Let's fantasy recast this movie.
Okay.
But only for the time it was made. Let's imagine that good filmmakers got a hold of this script and we're like, we're going to do a new.
We're going to try to tell this story well.
Well.
We're not with just these guys.
Exactly. And we're going to, it's going to be, you know, it's going to be awesome. But who do we cast in these roles? I think Brendan Gleeson, for sure, Little John. That's perfect.
Right.
I think he's great. Yes. And he would have been, I don't think he was really acting a lot at the time, but he certainly, he wasn't in a lot of movies, but he would have been great.
I think that
he would have been great.
Yeah.
I think, honestly, I'm keeping Rickman. I'm keeping Rickman and Morgan Freeman.
I think they'd be fine.
With a better director, they would have been phenomenal.
Correct. And story? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Slater's gone.
I think Christian Bale as Will Scarlet, because he would have been
old was he
would have been this is around Newsies time kind of, so he's like pretty young, but I could see him in that. I think Christian Bale is Will Scarlet. I think
Kevin, you got to come. It's who are you?
Yeah, that's the big
Kevin
one. I know. I'm like skirting around it. I'm like, who would be a good Robin Hood?
So if we're gonna go accent wise, you got to go with a British. You got to go with either British or
gotta
Australian.
It's got to be. I think casting an American as Robin Hood is
ridiculous. They can really do an English accent.
Yeah, I mean, like Downey Jr. as Sherlock Holmes got it because he's got the accent beautifully. But, because it's got to be
91.
This is 91. It's got to be an actor who can do the physicality, who can do the action stuff, who can be the leading man, but he's also got to have. Yes, so there you go, perfect. The most English, even
what
more
could have been better. Schwarzenegger.
He made Marion. You know. Come join my Marion.
This is my arrow. This is my arrow.
God, that would have been amazing if it was Schwarzenegger. Oh my God. But he's got to have a gleam in his eye, and he's got to have a little bit of swagger, but he's got to be likable. Like Cary Elwes was really good in Men in Tights, but he was perfect. I think he was perfectly cast for that for the comedic version.
Right, right.
Because
I'm struggling with an English, like I can come up with people now.
Right, yeah. It's
but
tough
like an English, you know, person. I mean, Russell Crowe. I mean, he's.
I don't know. Yeah,
he does Gladiator in 95.
But he played Robin Hood later, so I don't think.
Oh, we can't go with him.
Disqualifies him.
Okay.
I would say. I mean, honestly, it seems
Liam Neeson
would be interesting.
That's who it's got to be, because he did Rob Roy, didn't he?
He did.
Right. So
I could see. And at younger at the time, I could imagine, just because he could do anything and he was really popping at the time,
Daniel Day-Lewis would be good too. Well,
even though it's like, I kind of...
Because he did Last of the Mohicans, he could do it.
He did. Absolutely. I think he would have been... In fact, I would probably go with
him. Yeah, I think you're...
And Liam Neeson maybe could be one of the bad guys.
Maybe. I don't know.
Like one of the...
Maybe.
I think... And Maid Marian, I mean...
I actually didn't think she was that bad.
No, she was good. I just think, you know... Again, I feel like... Maybe like Helen Mirren.
I was going to say Helen Mirren.
I don't know if she was age-wise, but whatever. She's always she's ageless
she's
in my eyes.
She's great.
But anyway, that movie.
Kate
I think,
Blanchett is which. What is
she? I think that she would have been too young. She would probably been in. Yeah, still a student at the time.
I like that. Liam
I like
Neeson.
That. Yeah. I think
so Daniel Day-Lewis, first choice. If he turns it down, you're going
Liam
Neeson.
Neeson. Yeah.
And then you're leaving Rickman as the sheriff.
Yeah.
You're doing who? Here's the big casting. Oh. Who do you cast as the witch?
Oh,
because
God.
That needed to be recasted. And yes. I would have done away with the damn stupid eye thing. They did a lot of things to make her look odd and weird.
Yeah,
I thought they could have played it straight and not and
it
had
not,
it been equally as.
It was
as
just
neat.
Upsetting. Like, yeah, she was like, yeah, all that stuff was just it was just gross and weird, and I did not care for
who
it.
Did who did the witch from Willow?
The Bav Morda.
Yes,
I can't remember her name. She was also the evil, like, witch in Return to Oz, I think.
What about Maggie Stewart?
Maggie Smith.
Maggie Smith.
Maggie, she could do
she,
it.
She and she would be.
She'd be yeah. I
think
could
she
definitely see it. I could see her.
I think that would have been
Maggie,
a fairly decent casting for her. She could have handled that.
Definitely. Yeah. Yeah. I like that movie.
Yeah.
I wish they had made that movie, but they didn't. They made Robin Hood Prince.
Sean Connery still is as Richard the
Lionheart.
Yes,
of course. I mean, or yeah, yeah, maybe or even give him a bigger part.
I would give or just give Richard more. Bring him in earlier.
Yeah. Bring him. He could like save the day.
Save
the
day.
Battle or something.
Step in.
Yeah.
Yes.
That would be cool.
Yes.
I like that. I like that movie.
All right.
Yeah. Yeah. This movie is terrible.
It's terrible.
It was bad. I didn't, you know, I feel like another example of this kind of studio filmmaking, but that was on the that was good and is on the positive spectrum is like Batman. Like the first Batman to me is like the perfect example of this, especially that time, the intersection of art and commerce, like actually created something really unique and kind of groundbreaking. And where it was actually like the ambition and the imagination of and the kind of maybe out of the box ideas of like the producers and stuff actually worked, and they ended up creating something that because you know like Prince did the soundtrack and it was a phenomenon.
McDonald's had the whole thing.
Oh yeah, that was the first movie that I saw that was like that was
Collectrica.
a true phenomenon, and it worked I think, but I think this is the same kind of thinking but just like. It just doesn't work. It's all thrown to. It was thrown together, I think, too fast, and there wasn't any. It was just Costner's huge, and he can do anything. I guess was the thinking, and it's like no.
It's really bad.
Not Robin Hood.
It's really bad.
No, don't.
I wonder if he regrets it.
I hope so. That's terrible.
I hope so.
I mean, I don't want to. I don't wish regrets on people, but I imagine. I can't imagine he's proud of it. I mean. It probably bought him a nice house or a boat or something.
Oh, it bought him more than that.
I'm sure it did. You know, I mean.
Look, I think he probably, again, that's why I'm hoping that it was a throwaway thing because if you're directing and starring in Dances with Wolves, which won everything, basically.
Mm-hmm. Over Goodfellas.
And he won Best Director, right?
Yeah.
For that movie. So, like, you're doing that at the same time.
Yeah, and that,
JFK, you critical acclaim for role of JFK. You're coming off of
Field of Dreams
and
Untouchables.
You are untouchable at that moment.
Yeah.
And so I just feel like, I think you're right that he thinks he can do anything. Yeah. But I also just think that, I watched an interview once with Harrison Ford and him. They're asking him about movies, and he says, "You know, sometimes I'm not trying to do a box office hit. I'm not trying to I'm just doing something because I want to do it. Yeah. Like I want to do this because I want to do it.
Yeah.
And it's not about whether it's critically acclaimed or what. I just want to do that.
Yeah.
And oftentimes, though, when you want to just do that, they're usually small independent films that are kind of off the beaten track that no one gets to see.
Right.
It feels like Kevin Costner did. I just want to do that." For something, and then the studio said, we're going to make it into this massive thing.
Yeah.
And he was just like, no, I just kind of wanted to goof off and do this movie. But then the studio just made it into something bigger.
Yeah.
Here I am trying to give, I'm giving him an out, trying to say that
he could be. I don't know why you're a big Kevin Costner apologist. I don't know.
I think he's a great, I really, there's a lot of things he's done I like.
Sure. Yeah.
And
he's done lots of good stuff.
I'm fresh off of recently watching Field of Dreams and I just hadn't seen that movie in a long time, and it was just a wonderful movie, and He's great in it. And I like him in a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
it was painful to watch him be so bad at something. Yeah. Like, it was just really bad.
It was just one of those cases of miscalculation where, you know, and I think, and like I said, I do think he tried, but yeah. it just wasn't meant to be. It wasn't right from the outset. And, you know,
he's also not intimidating. Although older Kevin Costner, him in Yellowstone, he's intimidating in Yellowstone.
Yeah.
But he doesn't have to say anything. He's just silent.
Yeah. Yeah.
And his silence is intimidating.
Yeah.
When he tries to say something intimidating, he's not very intimidating.
Yeah.
At least not as a younger actor.
Right. Yeah. And he's, again, not merry and not jaunty and that is what I want from my Robin Hood. I don't want...
So you didn't like the Russell Crowe darker...
I remember being kind of disappointed just because it was Ridley Scott and a bunch of great people, and I thought it was fine, but I have to say I was kind of, you know, and I don't know, maybe I'll ruin the movie for you now, but actually I was really excited about the original concept for that movie.
Okay.
Which was, and I think it was still Ridley Scott was directing, but there was a different script, I think, and the original concept was it was actually going to reverse it was kind of a reversal where Russell Crowe was going to play the Sheriff of Nottingham.
Okay.
But he was actually the hero and Robin Hood was actually the villain and was actually like this criminal who is not a good guy. And I think Christian Bale was going to play Robin Hood. And it would have been Christian Bale as like kind of a bad Robin Hood and Russell Crowe as a good Sheriff of Nottingham. And I always thought that sounded kind of cool. I would have liked to see that movie, but they instead decided to do it more of by the numbers kind of straight ahead kind of thing, and I was like, I wasn't as. But Kate Blanchett's in it. There's like Oscar Isaac. Is it a great cast? Movie. I'll watch it again at some point. But
I think it's a good movie. I think it's a nice. I like when they take fictional things, and they try to tell it in a real way.
Right.
Like how this could have really happened.
Sure.
And I like when they do that. I don't like when they take a real. Like a story that is in real life, set in real life,
right.
And like I'm okay with Avengers and shit that where it's like we're completely suspending reality and saying that magic things can happen.
That's not based on a true story.
Nope, not last I checked.
Shit.
But the real stuff, I want them to, I want them to stick to it. Try to make it sound real. Like I like there's what's the movie I think Christian Bale's in it, but it may not be Christian Bale. There was one where it was the Red Sea, where someone plays Moses.
Oh, Exodus?
Yeah.
Another Ridley Scott, yeah.
It was that,
I never saw
was
it.
Was that Bale?
Yeah.
Okay.
He played Moses, yeah.
Yeah, so there's this moment where he has to part the Red Sea, right? And in that movie, what they show is Moses standing at the Red Sea
right.
and praying, right? And then there's this bright light, and there's a meteor that just shoots across the sky like the night before. And then the waters recede, which is basically like a tsunami.
Yeah.
And so like if as all of us who are old enough remember that like tsunamis before the tsunami comes, the water all recedes out. It pulls away.
Right.
And then it comes rushing in.
Yeah.
And so he's praying, this star comes, then all of a sudden
Right.
It recedes back, they cross, and then it comes rushing in behind and kills all the people chasing him.
Yeah.
Okay. I loved that because I'm like, okay, that's an explanation.
Yeah, they gave it something grounded in like actual science and could really happen.
Logically didn't happen because you can prove that that didn't happen. But but just from a story perspective, I was like, oh, and they didn't have to say it was fake.
Yeah.
They didn't explain that it was that.
Yeah.
They just provided some small little thing that if you wanted to grasp onto it, you could take it and go.
Right, yeah.
I like when they do that. I don't like when stories just take a myth and have no attempt to try to explain it.
Right.
And you're supposed to just accept it.
Yeah.
And that happens in this movie quite often.
Yeah.
And it's just painful.
Yeah, I still my favorite Robin Hood will always be the Disney Robin Hood.
Yes, I was just about
to
say
my favorite.
When I watch Robin Hood, all I think about is okay, which one of these is the bear?
Which animal is this?
Which animal is this character?
Yeah.
Like Alan Rickman is the wolf.
Yeah.
And Kevin Costner's supposed to be a fox, but he doesn't come off as a fox. Kevin Costner comes off as like a labradoodle.
Yeah.
And someone who's been bred into obedience and is just kind of
point. The animal cast of this Robin Hood would be a motley bunch.
Yes,
it would not. Yeah,
Little John is a camel.
Yeah, or like a donkey. Like, he's not a bear. But how they should have. That's how they should always cast. They should just take pictures of all the cartoons from the original Robin Hood, the Disney Robin Hood, and say, okay, this is how we're casting.
I actually liked the Friar Tuck in this movie. He was pretty good.
I thought he was okay
with him.
He was pretty good. Yeah. I didn't mind him, but Still the best is the Disney one.
I agree. Every town has its ups and downs. It's great.
Oh my God, I love that movie.
Good movie. All right, so
man,
Prince of Thieves,
yeah,
Prince of shit,
I'm never gonna watch that again.
I don't ever want to watch it either. It was painful. It was really long too.
It was like 2.5 hours.
Yeah, I was like, how can this still be going?
And once again, I chose it, and I'm sorry.
Shit movies are better to talk about.
I mean, at least we can cross it off the list now.
Yeah, now we don't have to do it. It's not staring us in the face.
We can pretend that it doesn't exist.
All right, so what's the next movie? Wait, do you have Roger's thoughts?
Okay, once again, I'm just going to give the
synopsis.
The brief cheat version of Roger's thoughts, but Roger praised the performances of Freeman and Rickman, thank you, but ultimately decried the film as a whole, giving it 2 stars and stating, Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves is a murky, unfocused, violent, and depressing version of the classic story. The most depressing thing about the movie is that children will attend it expecting to have a good time. Amen, Roger. Amen.
He's on it. So I guess two nuns down. Nuns. I expected to see some nuns in this movie, but no nuns.
There's friars and priests, right? Not priests. I guess they're friars.
There's a priest.
Is that what's
a really
the,
bad?
What's
priest.
The what's the difference between a priest and a friar? Do you know?
Technically, I don't know, but I would imagine that a friar, I think they're orders. I'm not going to look it up, but I think it's. I would suspect that it has to do with where they come from. So like in Christianity, you can have priests, you could have preachers, you can have pastors, you can have bishops, cardinals, you can have friars, you can have ministers, you can have, I mean, these are all deacons. You can have all sorts of things, but it depends on the denomination that you of religion and whatnot. I think in England we're talking about the Anglican Church, which is like English's version of Catholicism, which is obviously much lighter from Henry VIII and the kind of. I don't like my wife, so I'm divorcing her, and we're creating our own religion. So there are bishops, and there are cardinals. But then there are, I think friars are like at the, I think that's a Franciscan church thing.
Can I just be totally honest with you right now?
Yeah.
This entire time I've been sitting here answering my question, all I've been doing is thinking about how to make a joke about a friar being like a friar that you make like onion rings in or something. Kidding. Okay. I'm sorry. I just had to be.
All right, children. Okay. You can go to the blackboard and write your name.
God.
I will not make jokes about friars.
Thank you for that lesson though.
I'm gonna now that I'm looking at it. It says, here we go.
Yeah.
Here we go. A member of any of certain religious orders of men, especially the 4 mendicant orders, Augustines, Carmelites, Dominicans, and Franciscans.
That
so it's
helps me not at all, but thank you.
It is what I was trying to say, and basically is confirmed, is that it is an order of onion rings that you can.
Thank you.
Depending on your religion.
Yes. Right. Gotcha. Okay. Now it makes sense.
Whatever religion it depends on where you're going to cook your onion rings.
Right.
Some people do it in friars. Others do it in
you know, the
in
the pan or I don't know.
In bishops.
Yeah. Well.
All right, so what's next?
Well, I think we're going to do something a little different here, which is, at least for me, this is a film that I have not seen.
Yeah.
Which is a film which I think some of our fans out there listening will be very excited to hear, is a little motion picture called Valley Girl.
Valley Girl.
Featuring, once again, Nicolas Cage. This is pre-Raising Arizona Nicolas Cage.
Yeah.
In one of his earliest roles. I don't think it's not his first role, but definitely one of his first. I know nothing about this movie other than he is in it, and it's from the 80s. That's literally all I know about Valley Girl. Other than that, your father-in-law loves this movie.
Loves it.
And
my father-in-law has like here are four of his favorite movies: Rocky Horror,
right.
Xanadu, yeah. Valley Girl, and The Godfather. So
that's the greatest.
That's
his Letterboxd top four. Right
that
there,
is the yeah. top four.
Wow!
For amazing. Neil Fredrickson, and he'll stand by it. And he thinks Godfather 3 is an undervalued film.
Well, I agree.
And it is now getting its due. I just recently critics are going back and acknowledging it for it being as good as it was.
It is a good. It is underrated.
Anyways, yeah, we should one time do the Neil Quartet.
yes,
the Valley Girl, Xanadu. Godfather and Rocky Horror.
I've never seen Xanadu.
I've never seen Xanadu either, which I know everyone hates.
I can't imagine why I would, but
it's on roller skates, I think.
Is it? I know How Did This Get Made did it.
Okay, well, I think it's on roller skates.
Not to promote another podcast.
So, somehow I think it's on roller skates.
I'm in. I'm already in.
I mean,
you say roller skates and
I come with skating.
I come with skating.
All right, Matt, so that's it. Take us away.
Good night and good luck and take care and watch Valley Girl.